Welcome to this amazing, mind-blowing podcast.
I am here joined by James Barrett, a.k.a. Keepsakes. We're talking about their EP Run, came out in May. How are we doing this morning, James?
Yeah, doing all good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on. So yeah, this EP, Run for Cash, came out in May. How has it been received?
It's been good so far. Got a little bit of press attention overseas, some good support from DJs overseas playing various techno clubs. It was a bit of an interesting one for me because at the core of the release is a extremely ranty track called Scene Analysis.
Yes. That
is a bit of a tongue-in-cheek takedown of a lot of the drawbacks I see in sort of the over-commercialization that sometimes happens in particular music communities sometimes. So I think it's been received well, despite maybe, you know, cracking a few eggs in terms of calling out some certain patterns and behaviors that you see going on. Yeah.
Being a bit of a provocateur, you could say. I'm curious, what do you think of those really tacky, like 3D projections or visuals at like raves that they have these days? Any thoughts on that at all?
I think with all anything that's a visual thing, it can be done badly or it can be done really, really well. I'm personally not so much a fan of the 3D projection mapping. Do you mean kind of like those giant screens that you see at kind of EDM festivals where it'll be like a skull transforming into like various sort of like hallucinogenic shapes and what? Yeah,
that's
no, that stuff. Easy, yeah, that's incredibly cheesy. it's kind of what I was getting at in that it's this kind of the presentation over the substance of the music in a lot of cases does take precedent sometimes, and it's something I've noticed within techno internationally, not so much in New Zealand because it's still such a niche thing, but internationally it is a big industry and you're definitely seeing it become a bit EDM-ified, I guess you could say. You do kind of see some of that sometimes reflected in the same scene I work in at the moment.
True. I'm curious, you've made some kind of takedowns on the track Scene Analysis. Is the track I need to have it right in front of me, otherwise I forget things. The track Pray for Hype, is that anything to do with clout chasers in the industry? Are you calling out them?
For sure it is. Because at the end of the day these days, I came up and I got initially known sort of more around 2014, and obviously social media was something that was very present then, but it was not in kind of having the same precedence that it does now, and things are definitely a lot more based on these very short, sharp hype cycles. You know, people's releases never seem to kind of have the longevity with an audience they used to. People's attention spans are shorter. Also saying all this, it sounds like I'm complaining a lot. And I want to just make clear that there's still a lot of really awesome, cool, super underground, super legitimate, passionate things going on as well. It's just that the general course things have taken has definitely gotten to a point that it is more about this image and hype as opposed to kind of the real meat and substance of the music at the end, and it's kind of a shame to lose touch with that, I think.
For sure. I think that your critiques kind of fuel the sound of this EP, as I listened to your last EP, Blunt Cloud Trauma, which had a bit more fluidity in terms of the rhythms on the beats, whereas Run for Cash sounds like all the drops and beats are turned, they're kind of tuned on an almost like circadian rhythm to be very static. Do you think that's a fair characterization, that your critiques are fueling this kind of more experimental techno that you're producing?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an aesthetic choice. I mean, for a start, the label that I worked with on Rant for Cash, Perk Tracks, they're a pretty legendary UK industrial techno label, and have been kind of at the head of that kind of scene for a very long time now. So it was an aesthetic choice in terms of the label, and then I think that kind of sharp, biting critique definitely suits that sort of like spikier production, the slightly more, I guess you could say, almost militaristic rhythms, a little bit more on the grid, a little bit less groove and swing, more sort of in your face. So yeah, for sure, that kind of spiky critique fits with that kind of production aesthetic I went for with that, as well as sort of trying to do something that worked well with the label I was working with and their history too.
That's really fascinating. I didn't know about that. Now, you've been over in the EU for a hot moment. You've been touring there, correct?
Yes, I have. So I was there from about mid-March till about early June, so almost 3 months.
Awesome. And what's been your favourite spot to perform in?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's always a difficult question. I mean, this tour was particularly fun to go on. Met a lot of really nice people, played some really great gigs, but always the standout. Always the Berlin show ends up being pretty awesome. There's a club there I played this time, RSO. And for people that have visited Berlin, maybe in previous years, it's the new venue opened by the same team that had this venue called Griesmüller. And I played there 4 to 8 a.m. on a Saturday. After playing a couple of other gigs earlier that week. And yeah, it was amazing. Full club, lots of ravers going super hard at stupid times on Sunday. And then after that, I took my records home and went straight to see my friend play at Berghain. So that was a fun weekend.
Cracker.
Not much sleep that weekend.
No sleep for the wicked, eh? Goddamn.
Yeah, but then also, there's another club in London, Fold, and they have Sunday after parties that kind of run from midday till about 1 or 2 a.m. Called Unfold. And every time, that's the standout gig for my tours. No gig is ever better than that. Just very, really, really good energy. You know, a bunch of those people have been up all night and want to keep going. Yeah. And they just bring a really nice energy to the table. Like, that party's very focused on the LGBTQ community as well. And being invited to engage with that audience and be a part of their parties is also always just such an honor as well. And yeah, those would probably be the two standout gigs out of everything on the tour.
Nice. Sounds like you've had a ball of a time. Absolute ball.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't have too much time here left on the program. You do have some upcoming New Zealand shows too. You're playing at Pearl Diver this Saturday, correct?
Yes, I am. For the Negative Space crew, some of whom are involved with the opening of this new venue, I believe. And yeah, it's been a while since I've been down in Otapati, and it's going to be, yeah, super nice to come back and visit. It's been a couple years. Last time was 2021. And yeah, really interested to see what they're doing with the new bar, with the new venue, see how the parties are going down south as well. Yeah, it'll be a fun time. It's always fun coming to visit the city.
Yeah, for sure. I think you'll get a pretty good reception with you playing this. These bangers. These absolute bangers.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thank you very much for joining me this morning, James. It was great chatting to you.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks for having me.
Take care. No worries. That was James Barrett, a.k.a. Keepsakes. We just chatted about their latest EP, Rant for Cash, which you can find all over Spotify, wherever you get your tunes. We're going to play a wee tune from it. We're going to play Pray for Hype. From Rant for Cash by Keepsakes. We've got In the Loop with Jemima Lorimer, R1 News producer, coming up next. And yeah, 10:44. I'll see you soon.
All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.